Good morning. I would like to first thank everyone for coming to this session this morning. My name is Danielle Wilson, and I'm from Iowa State University. And today I'm going to be talking about some research that's been happening. And the title of my presentation is Switchgrass Composition and Quality Changes Across the Landscape Gradients. I would also like to go ahead and thank Iowa State University and also my co-authors, Theo Gunther, Lisa Schulte, Ken Moore, and Emily Heaton. I would also like to add to that this manuscript with a slightly different title is In Review at Global Change Biology Bioenergy. So hopefully this data will be coming out very soon. So here's just a brief outline of what I plan to discuss today in this presentation. Go through a very brief introduction, talk about the Landscape Biomass Project, and then discuss switchgrass quality and end with a summary of the data. So just to start out with, some of these things I'm sure we're all very aware of, but there is an abundant maize grain supply for our early lignocellulosic supplies, but there's also a lack of enough supplies for advanced biofuel needs. But we also lack this knowledge deficit for second generation crops, especially in the Midwest. Although Iowa will be the first to produce maize stover ethanol from two new ethanol plants coming online at the DuPont plant in Nevada, Iowa, and also the Poet plant. But there's also this need for a diversification of the predominantly maize landscape that blankets the Midwestern part of the U.S. And second-generation crops sort of offer numerous advantages, including they avoid this potential competition with food versus fuel systems, and they also add into what we consider a portfolio approach for a variety of crops that can be used for multiple purposes, including they will provide food, feed, fuel, and fiber from the entire landscape, while also proving to be productive, profitable, and hopefully contributing a wealth of environmental benefits. So a transdisciplinary research project was set up in central Iowa. It's known as the Landscape Biomass Project, and it was designed to fill knowledge gaps associated with growth and harvest of second generation crops. These research plots are located in Boone County, Iowa, on an Iowa State research farm. There are several landscape positions starting at the top of the hill, or we have our summit moving down to our shoulder, backslope, toe slope, and our floodplain next to a creek. It was set up as a randomized complete block design with three replications, and there are five treatments or cropping systems. Continuous maize, a soybean, triticale soybean, maize, modified rotation, maize switchgrass, triticale sorghum, and a triticale aspen. But for today's presentation, I'm going to be focusing on the third cropping system, which was our maize switchgrass. Maize was used in the establishment year, so the data presented will be year two and year three after switchgrass establishment. Two switchgrass varieties were used, Canlow and Caven Rock. Several different things have been measured on the landscape biomass site, looking at landscape position and how it influences several things. Root productivity and soil carbon, microbial activity, looking at the economics of each of these cropping systems, and also productivity in the perennial establishment. Several of these factors landscape position influenced, but other things it did not. So, for example, productivity in perennial establishment, we found minimal landscape position effects on those two things. But what about switchgrass quality? How does landscape position potentially impact switchgrass quality parameters? So for switchgrass quality, there are two sort of main things that I am referring to, one being plant mineral composition. Specifically, two things that we're very interested in, nitrogen and ash concentrations. We've seen that it can be detrimental for thermochemical conversion pathways. And really what that leads into is it impacts the efficiency and the biofuel yield and quality as demonstrated in previous studies. In addition, plant cell wall composition, specifically referring to cellulose, hemicellulose, and lignin. And these really, you know, these can go both towards biochemical and thermochemical pathways, impacting both of those pathways depending on the configuration of all of those lignocellulosic components. And really those impact potentially the ease of conversion of that crop into a fuel. So the rationale for this study, those key quality parameters, including plant mineral composition and cell wall structure, show that it dictates how efficiently it can be converted. And also logistical and management considerations of these crops for improved placement across the landscape, whether it be on what we consider prime farmland or marginal farmland. The questions asked were, how does switchgrass quality change both spatially across the landscape and temporally between years? Do any changes depend on the switchgrass variety used? So I'm going to move right into the data. First, I'm presenting the biomass yield in megagrams dry biomass per hectare. We have our landscape positions on our x-axis and the yield on the y. I've presented both varieties by year, 2010 and 2011. The first thing that I would like to point out is that Canlow out-yielded Cavan Rock in both 2010 and 2011 in our landscape positions, as well as yields were greater in 2011 compared to 2010, you know, reflecting that the increased maturity of this crop. Again, it was established in 2009. I don't know if we hit sort of that ceiling yield by 2011. Yields were collected further in this study, just not presented today. Moving into plant cell wall composition, again, like I stated, cellulose, hemicellulose, and lignin. There's a lot going on in this table, but there are some major take-home messages that I want to point out in this table. The first being sort of separating it out into years. In 2010, generally, we saw that both varieties had greater hemicellulose compared to 2011. In addition, the summit and the shoulder, so the top of our hill slope, had greater hemicellulose compared to the floodplain. In 2011, we saw that both varieties had greater cellulose and lignin compared to the hemicellulose. And also, all landscape positions had greater cellulose and lignin. There were, you know, it didn't separate out into difference between the top and the bottom of the hill slope. So moving into plant mineral composition, I want to take us back and say that we looked at both nitrogen concentration and also total ash. So we didn't separate anything out. It was nitrogen and ash concentration for that plant mineral composition. So for total ash concentration, again, it is by landscape position. One of the most notable things that we found was which we sort of expected, was that the ash was greater at the bottom of the hill slope compared to the top of the landscape. And also, in addition, we found that the Cavan Rock had a higher ash concentration in 2011, but we did see a decrease in 2011. And this sort of goes back to, we had a historic flood in Ames in 2010. The plots in the floodplain position were underwater for a few days. Yields and things, everything, you know, bounced back and were fine. But we did see sort of potentially a flood of minerals come in, and that might have impacted our high ash concentrations in both of our varieties in 2010. Moving forward to our nitrogen concentration by landscape position, the first thing I want to point out is we did have an interaction, a three-way interaction, and this was largely driven by variety. There were variety differences here, and overall we saw that Canlow had less nitrogen compared to our Cavan Rock, which we found to be a very interesting finding. In addition, as expected, we found that there was greater nitrogen in the floodplain plots as compared to the top of the hill. And then moving forward, thinking about nitrogen concentration, how much we're taking off for nitrogen removal. So again, taking into consideration our biomass yield, our nitrogen concentration. We found that there was greater nitrogen removal in 2011. Again, this was largely driven by our year and the increased biomass that we found in 2011 for both of our varieties. In addition, variety did not matter within a year, reflecting that Canlow, we saw greater biomass yields, but again, we saw lower nitrogen concentration as compared to our Cave and Rock. So I want to bring us back to, you know, hopefully this big picture and what this means for our findings. Like I've discussed, we have our ash and we have our nitrogen concentration as our plant mineral composition and also our cell wall components, all of these things feeding into switchgrass quality and what this will impact for our bioenergy needs. We found that ash and nitrogen concentration were more influenced by landscape position, more specifically the bottom of our hill slope in our floodplain position. We found that those plots were a bit dirtier than the top of the hill slope. And for cell wall components, we saw more of a year-to-year variability. So things were changing from year to year, and we saw less of a landscape position effect. But ultimately, all of these things tie in and impact our biochemical and our thermochemical pathways. So each of these three things measured, regardless of where they're at on the landscape or year-to-year variability, will impact potentially the ease of conversion or our biofuel yields. So in summary, we found that landscape position affects biomass quality at a magnitude similar to interseasonal temporal changes from previous studies. We also found that spatial variation was more important or had more of an impact for plant mineral composition, like I've stated, nitrogen and our ash concentration. And temporal variation was shown more with plant cell wall composition. So we saw more of a year-to-year fluctuation variability than we did see for changes across the landscape. We also found that minimal and what we considered inconsistent variety differences suggest that potentially temporal and spatial variation may be as or more important than variety for determining switchgrass quality. And I want to end with this figure. I think it puts it really into a great perspective as what we consider an alternative. Again, taking into account our portfolio of crops where we can produce food and feed on certain parts of the landscape, fuel and fiber in other parts, and potentially our idea of placing crops for conservation purposes may not be on target for where we might place biomass crops for improved biomass quality. So again, taking into consideration landscape differences and year-to-year variation for switchgrass quality. I would like to thank a lot of people for their help and work on the project itself and also our funding sources. And with that, I would like to thank everyone and take any questions.
Fiber or environmental?
So we used ANCOM for determining, so we looked at NDF, ADF, ADL. Yes. Any more? Thank you.